Edition of the Thought Police. We're in a very special place. Kevin O'Sullivan's here. I'm here. Luke's is here. Other people may be joining us because it's raining.
It's raining. Global boiling is really starting to piss me off.
When are we going to see it?
Yeah, exactly. Where is global boiling when you fucking need it?
Well, I'm looking out at this scene and there's people with umbrellas, there's people completely soaked with rain that's been falling all afternoon. It's about, what, 16 degrees?
I'll tell you something about that, right? So, you know, I've got this new schedule, which isn't ideal, so I come in and do mic and...
Well, you basically don't ever leave the office.
Yeah, exactly. And then my show starts at 3 o'clock, so I just fuck around and I've got to write my monologue, choose some stories and all that, but it doesn't take five fucking hours.
Right.
So I don't really have much to do, but I've been sitting around pissing about and making jokes and all that. I said to myself a couple of days ago, you can't fucking live your life like this. Go out for a walk. There's a nice Thames down the road.
Swim maybe the Thames.
So I finally got round to it today. I thought, right, that's it. I'm going to finally do it. Yeah. And I went out and I strode down the Thames Stone Path for about, 10 yards. And then the fucking heavens opened. Fucking pissing with rain. Freezing fucking cold. Global boiling my fucking ass. Antonio Guterres, the cunt useless leader of the United Nations. Fuck him. What a cunt.
Yeah, exactly right. But anyway, what we should tell you is that this is brought to you by Dave Johnson from suitablechoices.co.uk because he is one of the sponsors of the podcast. We'll give him a name check a bit later on. Also, look out for our Patreon account because also in there you may find that you can actually get some more tickets. We've got a live show coming up, which we're going to do here. And we've just been told we can now do it in a slightly different place.
A bigger place.
Slightly bigger from where we thought we could do it. So we can actually maybe make another 10 tickets available. Maybe 20.
Maybe 20.
So look out for that. If you're still keen to come and you couldn't get tickets, they sold out pretty quick, like in about 24 hours. We'll put out another little tweet.
Double the price.
those last 20 tickets will be £100 each. No, they won't be.
Or you could do what old what's her name did Beyonce this week and say, look, we can sell you some more tickets, but they're for listening only. You won't be able to see anything.
With us, that might be quite quid. An advantage. They'd fucking sell through the roof if they didn't have to look at us.
They would, absolutely right. But tell us about your day today.
Well, yeah, I just come hot foot to our favourite pub from the office where I'm doing my show on Talk TV now from 3 o'clock until 5 o'clock.
Yeah, don't miss
now,
it.
Now, one of the stories that you don't hear from sort of radio and television presenters is quite often you're desperate for a piss.
Well, you are.
Well, I needed a piss before the show started, but I was pretty busy.
Yeah, you should have got to go.
So I didn't. When you got to go, you got to go, but I didn't go.
Right.
So, I was all right, but I thought, so the next proper time you can go is the next top of the hour. So I start at 3, and all the way through that 60 minutes, I'm thinking, only 10 minutes to go, then I'm going to the fucking bogs.
Right. Starts to become an obsession.
Yes, it does.
But you're literally going, oh, Christ. Can I get there?
And then you say to the producer over the tannoy, you go, how long is the next break? And they go, 30 seconds. Right. Fuck!
Right. Because actually, you know what I found? I found actually it's better to go during the breaks at 20 past the 20 because they have the road traffic report, which actually is longer than the news.
You see what I mean?
Sometimes.
See what I mean, folks? This is what we think about. When you see us on air,
there's
with our deep political opinions, extraordinary interviews. Actually, we're just sitting there thinking I'm desperate for a fucking piss. Mm. So anyway, I was
worse desperate. If you got diarrhea.
I didn't have that. probably have now. So I got, it's 4 o'clock, bang, I got 4.5 minutes, bang, down the bogs.
Yeah.
Fantastic. You know what it's like, suddenly your world is a much better place when you've done that. So I've got plenty of time. And so I saunter out of the bogs, start having a chat with one of the Talk Sport guys about Fulham. you know, checking my hair, and and then my producer and the techie girl, Amy, they came out, they go, Kevin, 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 come on, come on, come on. What are you fucking talking about? I've got 4 minutes. Is that the fucking news is fucked up? So I had to sprint. There was no news. So all of a sudden, I didn't have 4 minutes. I had no minutes. So I had to rush back.
I must have a look at this on the camera.
It looks quite bad.
You sure?
No. We didn't lose any time because just by luck.
Yeah, but you must have run back in.
Yeah, I ran back in. And of course, you know, I just about got that. I dipped my mic on. But my only got one ear plug in, so I've got a wire hanging down one side. Peter Blexi's in the studio, so we just about got away with it. But it was not a great, you know, that fucking thing when it's your fault, and they're going, come on, come on, you feel like a cunt. But it wasn't my fucking fault,
hell. I know, it's not good. Oh, look, the rain's come on again. Yeah, you can probably hear it in the background because we're actually outside in the garden, as it's called, although there's no grass. Have you noticed, by the way, that there's a thing now for people to have fake grass?
Yeah.
That people now AstroTurf rather than actual fucking grass that needs to be mown.
Yeah. Have you played football, all that stuff?
Yeah.
And you fucking burn yourself, don't
I
you?
Was down at Millwall last Friday.
Of course Friday, you were, for the Talk Sport five-a-side,
which was great fun. Because there were people like Jimmy Bullard.
Darren Bent, there's some proper footballers.
Darren Bent was there. Alan Brazil was the team manager, who was fantastic. He wasn't playing, they wouldn't let him do that. But they had Phil Brown from Hull City. Yeah. Remember him, the manager?
Yeah.
And the one funny story about Phil Brown, I know this is probably a bit footballer.
Going off on a tangent.
He is very brown. But do you remember when there was the cup final and he made the team all sit down in a circle around
him?
Right. Which is what he's famous for. One day, when there was a time when he used to do quite a lot of stuff for Talk Sport, and there were a load of young guys outside for some reason playing football because they used to have a five-a-side pitch. And he came out to get into a car, and they all came round him and sat down in a circle. Which I think that's one of the funniest things I'd ever seen. And he thought it was brilliant, actually. But yeah, it was all very amusing stuff. And Ray Parler was there, and Dean Saunders. So it was quite a sort of meeting of, there was quite a lot of drink taken.
I bet.
Quite a few. And the one thing is about whenever I go to football stadiums and there's nobody there, it's quite a nice thing to do. You know, where there's, you're watching them. It's quite a nice stadium, actually, Millwall now. You know, you recognise that it used to not always be like that. The new den is not the same as the old den.
It's all right.
And as we walked from the station, you thought, I bet they've seen some trouble down here.
Fucking right. You know, I've been to Millwall.
Have you been to Millwall?
Many times.
Well, Millwall.
As an away fan, you don't talk about it when you go to Millwall.
No.
You're Millwall? Yeah, Millwall through and through.
Well, we walked down the pathway which is meant for visiting fans, right? And all the way down on every fucking... and you and I always have these arguments about how horrible football is. All the way down on every lamppost, you know, Millwall fans have got six fingers, they shag their sisters. It's just stickers all down the fucking same path.
Yeah,
you know?
They said, no one likes us, we don't care.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
right.
Their big thing. My favourite Millwall chant to the opposing fans is, you're going home in a body bag. And so when Millwall played Fulham last season, there's Bishop's Park right near Craven Cottage. And I was hanging around there buying a programme, and I suddenly saw in the distance like this wall of, you know, human thuggery coming towards me, and it was like the hardcore Millwall fans, and they're all fucking great blokes, and they're all about fucking 60.
They're all older,
they're really old, and their whole thing is they never wear scarves, they wear no regalia, nothing, because they don't want to get nicked by the cops. But they're fucking huge guys, you know, walking towards you. There'll be fierce fucking looks on them. Anyway, I saw this wall, and what I did was I said, come on, if you're hard enough. I ran at them. I ran the other way.
I was going to say, well, my favourite Millwall story is Rod Liddell tells it.
He's a massive
Millwall fan, and he did that thing where at some point or other, I can't remember what the tournament was or what the friendly scenario was, but there was a suggestion that Iran's football team was going to come to London and play. And they were going to play at Millwall. And he said they'd already worked out a couple of the chants they were going to do. One was, you're Shiite and you know you are. And the other one was, what was it? Come on, darling, show us your face.
Show us your face. Fucking hell.
But anyway, enough of that. We should talk about Rishi Sunak, should we not?
Sunak, he speaks North with Sea. Forked tongue.
He's off on holiday to California, I found out today. You know how they've been saying he's going to Spain? Apparently he's not. He's going to visit his house in Santa Monica.
Yeah, it's Santa Monica. That's right, yeah. I mean, the thing about this guy now is that, I keep saying this, but...
Nobody believes a word he says.
I can't believe all of these fucking utter airhead idiots in Westminster who for about the last 10 years have been going around going, we've cracked it, we know exactly how to win the next step, we know how to get votes. What we're going to say is, we're going to tell all the people, we've got these policies that are going to make you colder and poorer.
Yeah.
That we're going to tell you, you can't drive a petrol car. We're going to tell you, you can't fly to Spain on your holidays because that destroys the planet. Keir Starmer's fairer, greener future. You know, why did these cunts ever think that we would vote for that? So now, they're suddenly going, oh, wait a minute. People don't want to pay more for their energy bills.
No.
They don't want to be colder. They say that we can shove heat pumps up our fucking arses and so on and so forth. So suddenly they're all realising, fairer, greener future isn't fair. So Rishi's...
Or even green.
Rishi's talking the talk now. Oh, more North Sea drilling and gas and fossil fuels are still going to be the basis of our energy. So, we've gone too far with this greenery. Yeah, great. Nice words, Rishi. Why then do you still have a Secretary of State for Net Zero, that fuckwit Grant Shapps?
Well, he doesn't know whether he's fucking coming or going.
He's suddenly become the big evangelist, isn't he? Anti-green. He is the arsehole who imposed on an unsuspecting nation cycle lanes, pedestrian walks, overnight during the lockdowns, because he said that's what the people want. Right. We never fucking wanted that. Suddenly, he's now, people don't want this extreme greenery. That's the extreme greenery that you've been promoting, Shapps.
Yeah, but the reason they've said that people wanted it, as you've always said, is that if you ask people, would you like to have a greener planet? Would you like it
to save the planet?
If your children had a better environment to live in than you, and they all go, oh, yes, of course. And YouGov goes, tick, tick, tick. Yeah. Everybody wants climate change because we put into the first and only fucking thing that people want done and looked after. And then when you go, yeah, but you didn't mention it was going to cost $5,000 a year.
Yeah.
And then they go, actually, no, we don't want it now.
Exactly.
We'd rather not have that.
Yeah, and they go, I wish one of them would sort of collar me and say, bollocks to climate change, don't care. Well, don't you want a better planet for your kids in the future? No, I fucking hate my kids. Yeah. Fucking bollocks.
Yeah.
If it's going to be horrible for them, then that's got my vote.
Yeah, they say that to
me. There's always this big thing about, you children. You know, I don't like children.
I think that's very clear. We don't like anybody.
To be fair, I'm an equal opportunity hater.
We've said that before. Now, the thing we have to talk about, because we've done it this week already, the Chinese bear.
Fucking
hell,
is it a fucking
bear or not? Right? We've now seen two videos. Right? Yeah. Kevin said to me this morning. He said, "Do you know what?" He said, "Yesterday, I was pretty sure it was a bear." He said, "But today, I don't think it is. There's a bear over there. That's definitely not a bear because it's made of wood, and we can see that. But the fucking bear, I think." I'm now starting to go the other way and go, well, maybe it is a proper bear.
Well, it's fucking waving.
It's waving. Yeah, but loads of people have sent me pictures of bears waving. Apparently they can wave at people. They do.
I'll have to change tack again.
I was in Yellowstone.
I'm a floating voter.
Yeah, I was in Yellowstone once, right? And we had to stop. It was a school trip I was doing back in the 70s. And we had to stop in Yellowstone because there were some brown bears, or black bears actually, which are confusingly brown. Who were just in the middle of the road, and they came, and one of them just put its paws on the window and was like, "We told we had to wind the windows up," and it was just looking
They're
in.
Fucking dangerous.
Well, they are dangerous, but they also look actually weirdly human sometimes, right?
Yeah.
And today I also put out a video of this panda with hiccups. Do you see that? Panda with hiccups, which looks like a bloke inside a panda suit. And I think in China, this is what they're doing, right? I saw the golden retriever they made out to be a lion. It's got a fucking lion mate. He fucking turns around and it's a dog. You know it's a dog. Yeah. It's the size of a dog. It's not the size of a fucking lion. And then they've got these fucking... and a guy sent me a tweet with this fake gorilla behind him. He went, yeah, I went to that zoo as well. I mean, it's fucking hilarious. It's one of those things that just attracts people's, curiosity.
Yeah.
And they've also been painting the donkeys black and white to say they're fucking zebras. Because presumably the Chinese aren't allowed to go anywhere.
I think I made that up.
I'm surprised.
It's given birth to a wider truth.
I'm surprised that, that they're not just eating all these fucking animals. You know what they're like in China.
Well, you know what they're like. But anyway, I followed your lead and played that video again at the beginning of that.
People love it.
At the beginning of the cool section, because that was a serious subject. We need to talk about cost of coffee. We need to talk about climate change.
I'm sick of talking about cost of coffee.
What about the soft justice? 0344-499-1000. By the way, another thing you can call us about is, do you think this is a bear or a bloke in a bear suit? So we played that fucking switchboard.
Do you know,
boom,
the great thing?
It's a bear. It's not a bear.
The great thing is, in the old days, it would be like Blackie the Donkey in Fleet Street. I don't know if you remember that story.
Blackie the Donkey doomed to die.
Doomed to die, which was in a Spanish, tiny Spanish town where everybody every year used to take this donkey up to the top of this massively tall ladder
and then
throw it into a swimming pool down below.
Yeah, they didn't kill it.
No. But it was probably quite scary for the donkey.
The poor little fucker used to have to be in this basket high, suspended above the village for like days on end. So it was an exercise in cruelty.
Yeah, but we, as the Fleet Street havens, went down there and there was a big bonfire as to who could rescue Blackie the Donkey. If that was now, we'd be sending people to fucking China to find the man in the bear suit.
Yeah.
But they won't do it anymore because the Daily Mirror's too busy doing Just Stop Rishi. Just Stop Sunak. Yeah. You know, that's the level of their kind of adventure.
Well, that fucking donkey, Blackie the Donkey, doomed to die.
Killed off a couple of careers.
I was on The Sun then, and Kelvin McKenzie was the editor, and the hotshot reporter of the moment in the newsroom, this guy called Hugh Whitto, went on to become editor of the Daily Express. So he had a pretty good career, to be fair. But a career low point for him was going to Spain to find Blackie, so the Sun was going to save Blackie the Donkey, doomed to die. So he went and got it. He found that, and he gave the fucking farmer, you know, €5,000. The farmer couldn't believe his luck. So he said, you know, and then Hugh just sort of like, right, let's go on the piss. Just tied it up. Told the farmer, there, look after it. We'll come back for it later. Then decided, right.
So they went on the piss.
So he files this story. The Sun has sensationally saved Blackie the Donkey, who is no longer doomed to die, thanks to this wonderful newspaper, etc., etc. Unbeknownst to Hugh, a guy ended up on the Mirror,
Don McKay,
but he was on the Daily Star then. He was dispatched over there. And he
was another drunk.
He nicked the donkey Blackie under the cover of dark. So suddenly Hugh didn't have the fucking donkey, and you know, so all the other reporters, we were like literally rolling on the floor laughing. Fucking Kelvin went ape shit. He's shouting at Tom Petrie. He said, "You tell that cunt widow, if he doesn't get that fucking donkey, he don't bother coming back to the fucking office." And I'm serious.
Yeah.
Hugh had to...
He never recovered, did he?
No. Tom, the news editor, was unable to get him an air ticket because Kevin said, no, I'm not paying for that cunt's air ticket back to London. So Tom had to say, mate, you're going to have to hire a car and drive. So he had to drive all the way back from Spain.
Without the donkey.
Without the donkey, in disgrace.
And his career actually at The Sun never went anywhere.
He was finished. He was finished after that. Before that, he was the big blue-eyed boy. Just shows that you can lose everything.
Yeah,
Oliver
just showed up. Have a seat, and you can join in the podcast if you like.
Right, we do.
Yeah, very well.
Good.
Yeah, we're just discussing the bear. Have you seen the picture of the bear? There's a bear. I don't know whether you can. You don't.
I got it somewhere. You carry on talking.
Well, there's a bear in the Chinese zoo. And people are saying it's not a bear, it's a bloke in a bear's costume.
I did hear about this, actually.
It's the funniest thing you've ever seen.
It's going like this.
It's waving.
Waving.
Yeah.
Say it's a
bears can wave.
Yeah, I don't believe it.
Surprised what bears
can
be capable.
Yeah. The audio won't be any good.
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah, well, we know.
Get the other one where he's... It's not a fucking bear.
It is very funny. So anyway... Donald Trump's been indicted again.
Yes, and do you know what? Another day, another indictment.
And he's been indicted apparently with the most serious charges you've ever seen since the last most serious charges.
He's going to jail for 10,000 years.
And if possible, he will eventually go to jail, could go to jail for 20 years. You can't believe the fucking glee and the zeal with which these fuckwitted media people get worked up. Yeah. It started, we're talking in the middle of the week, it started the night before this, and I watched it breaking. And you could literally see saliva coming out of the mouths of some of these fuckwitted, you know, lefty Ramona type journos, right? Saying, this is it, this is definitely it, this is the end of
him.
He's
going to jail. He's not going to jail.
One,
he won't go to jail.
Two, if he does go to jail, he'll still win. Three, if he definitely goes to jail for a long time, he'll be first president in jail. It'll be great.
Yeah.
It'll be really funny.
But I don't
know. Yeah, hilarious. Can you imagine? State of the Union address, you know.
It's a comedy film.
Yeah, so what's it? Here's the thing. You were just pointing out when we were off air. In America, the president, or the former president, Donald Trump, is being indicted, facing, you know, these stupid long prison sentences for trying to overturn the democratic will of the people, right? So why aren't we indicting Dominic Grieve, Oliver Letwin, John Bercow, and all the other
anti-Brexiteers
who tried to overturn the democratic will of the British people? Mm. What's the fucking difference?
Yeah. Well, what about Lady Hale with her little spidery brooch? God. Remember that? The lady from the Supreme Court. And everybody wore these little spiders, and then they put spiders on their Twitter accounts to prove that they were all in support of...
Fucking judges. I mean, the one thing you can rely upon when anything ends up at the High Court and the judge has got to make the decision, he'll decide in favour of the wokies, the lefties, the
dinner party set.
The blob. So judges used to be notorious almost for being right wing.
They did.
Now they're,
as did the police.
They're just left wing.
Right. The police used to be right wing.
Well,
the special patrol group used to go around picking up people they didn't like look of and beat the shit out of them and then chuck them out the back of the van.
I think we should go back to that. Sort
of. I think that was good.
I've got a number of candidates in mind.
Yeah, also, the good old days when the civil servants were actually conservatives. Yeah. And they didn't actually think that it was a good idea to have your fucking pronoun on the end of your fucking email. He, him.
Yeah. I mean, is it, though, isn't it? The establishment of this country. They was going about the establishment being right-wing Tories. No. The establishment of this
lefties film now.
It's the Guardian, it's the BBC, it's left-wing politicians. Yeah. They are the British establishment. Yeah. And if you go up against them, you end up in court, and some left-wing bewigged twat will find in the wokies' flavour.
Yeah, with an Aston Martin.
Fucking hate judges. They're all so thick.
Yeah. Well, it was also in the good old days, the judges all used to be perverts, didn't they? So you could always rely on every week there'd be at least one story either in the Sunday People or, the News of the World, and it would be Mullud took off all of his clothes and insisted that I put the stockings and suspenders on him and then spanked him for the rest of the night, and he paid me £2,000. You know, you don't get those stories anymore.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, or what's that expression? Drunk as a lord. Sober as a judge, drunk as a lord.
Yeah.
But, judges. Do you remember Lord Denning?
Yes.
From years ago.
The Master of the Rolls.
Yeah, he's like Britain's top judge. And
quite like Denning, actually.
He's all right, but to say that he was divorced from normal life would be the understatement of the century. This is the guy that said in the middle of a case, involving Paul Gascoigne, says, "What is Gaza?" And he's also the judge that said, "Can anyone tell me what EastEnders is?" So, you know, just living on a different fucking planet. And so in those days, they were supposed to pass judgment. You thought, fucking cunt doesn't even know who Gaza is.
Right.
He shouldn't be passing judgment on anything to do with normal
life. Well, it was like the story that was once told to me by a guy that did a lot of court reporting in the early days of his journalistic career. And he was in somewhere like, you know, the Circuit Court of Essex as it came around. And they had some layabout sort of vagrant up for drunk and disorderly. And the judge said to him, "Now, my man, I'm finding you guilty. However, I am not going to in any way punish you, but I am going to say that you must no longer drink. And you must make a vow today, as you stand here in front of the court, never to drink again. And what I mean by that is not even a small sherry before lunch.
A small sherry. There's some working class.
And the guy's going, what? Flack!
Yeah, flack. He's never fucking drunk sherry in his life.
Exactly. Well, right. What pint.
Yeah. Pint of sherry,
when
please.
When it's the only thing left in the drinks cabinet.
But there is, I mean, I grew up in London. I used to belong to a golf club in Richmond where you would have doctors, lawyers, all sorts of characters, right, who would literally sit there all day, sometimes never even bothered to actually play golf, just get pissed up and then drive home, you know. And I know that people will say, well, that's not something that people should be happy about, but it was a very much more simple time, you know. And then the police suddenly got involved in nicking them, so they'd park at the top of the road and just wait for them all to drive up.
Yeah.
And there was this one, this Irish doctor who was literally pissed all the time. I don't think he ever did actually any GP's work, but he was just he was sitting there with a glass of whiskey, and he'd be there from about 4 in the afternoon till about 9 at night, and then he'd get in his car and drive up the road to fucking go home. And he started getting, he ended up having to get taxis because they banned him from driving.
Yeah. There's a certain, I better not name it, but there's a certain television celebrity. He's kind of, doesn't appear on television much, but he lives very close to me. So there's a pub just up the road from where I live, our local, if you like. And what he does is he goes there every lunchtime from about 12 until 1 when there's no one in there. And then he goes back. He goes back to the pub around about 4:30 and stays there till about 9:30. And then he staggers, staggers back to his house. But the reason he does those hours is he doesn't want to look like the guy who staggers out of the pub at closing time. So there's this
stagger out before.
And he walks across the road. I'll name him off air. Maybe at the live show.
No, you shouldn't do that. You should never do that, because then people will go, you wanker.
Yeah,
why don't you fucking name him? Yeah. You don't name him now, though.
I'm not going to name him. Anyway, so you see him sometimes.
Is he still working?
9:30, not very much. But there's a zebra crossing just by the pub. When he goes home, he's usually got his last gin and tonic in his hand, staggering across.
I know. It was a very different time.
So that thing, what you talked about, your Irish doctor, that thing of leaving the pub around about 9:30 instead of closing time is what perennial drunks thought is the good way not to get nicked for drink driving. But it wasn't always effective, was it?
No, it absolutely wasn't. Speaking of which, should we have a revisit of the media landscape while we're here? You know, ITV, BBC, what's going on with Hugh Edwards? What's going on with fucking Philip Schofield? It's all gone very quiet. Nobody's saying anything about anybody.
Schofield's still under investigation. So is Hugh Edwards. I'm not going to cast aspersions on Hugh Edwards' mental health issues. I'm sure they're very, very genuine. But I've never seen the mental health card played so effectively.
And it's completely killed the story.
It killed a massive story, stone dead, on the spot, right there and then, because everyone is terrified to write or say anything about someone who's got mental health issues. It's the way to kill a story. JJ Anasiobi, who does a bit of crisis management, got a friend of ours who appears on the talk. He said on the talk, he said, well, I do a bit of crisis management, and if I had a client in Hugh Edwards' position, I would just say, right, you've got mental health issues. And I'll make that announcement, that'll kill the story. Yeah. That's what crisis managers do.
Yeah.
So anyway, he's still under investigation. I don't think we'll ever see him.
But is anybody ever going to discuss this investigation or ask a question about
it? Well, I think the BBC have announced that they're investigating him. They owe us.
Well, what we know, right, is that woman who came from NBC, Turness, Deborah Turness, I think her name is. She was the woman who covered up for Brian Williams when he made up a load of shit about being Sarajevo and he wasn't.
Yeah.
And he was their big star. She has recused herself, apparently, from the investigation, which would suggest that maybe she knew something that she now can't admit to.
And there's another executive there as well. The two heads of news have decided this is not for us to investigate our biggest newsroom. So, in other words, it's like the buck stops at the top. So poor old Tim Davies, the Director General, he took a lot of shit, didn't he, for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So that's disappeared. And Philip Schofield, I think he did. He played the mental health card as well.
A little bit.
Not quite so brilliant.
No.
Not so talentedly. So
he waited too long.
Yeah. So I mean, they employed an external barrister to conduct an inquiry. My bet is they'll
fucking throw him under the bus yet again. Kevin Spacey, I'll tell you what. I mean, Kevin Spacey's obviously got a technique with blokes that some blokes misinterpret or interpret as rape. But the whole case,
I misinterpreted your technique there, Kevin.
Yeah.
I didn't realise you were raping me in the arse. Otherwise, I would have said something. That's surprising.
Your dick's up my arse. You call this flirting?
How did that happen? I'm a bit of a
flirtatious. Yeah. Get your dick out of my arse.
I'm a bit of a flirt.
Yeah.
Is that right?
But to be serious, that was just a joke, by the way. Not a very good one, but there you go. Kevin Spacey, he's never been convicted of anything.
No.
That was the second court of law that found him innocent. And what happened when he was found not guilty of, what was it, it's like nine different charges?
Yeah.
The woke mob doubled down and said he's a bastard.
Yeah. So you don't think he'll ever come back then?
I think he might get a small indie production, but the big Hollywood studios still will not touch him with a barge pole. And the scandal of that is, as he said, what was it, 2018, I think it was, suddenly it was a magazine ran a piece saying, that he was a serial sexual harasser of men, of young men. And he said that his career ended in a flash. He said within 4 days, he'd lost everything. He lost his role in House of Cards. He was sacked from a film called All the Money in the World about the Gettys, replaced by Christopher, even though they'd finished filming it. They filmed it again with Christopher Plummer.
Just took him out of it.
Yeah, his CAA, his big-time Hollywood agents, dropped him like a stone. So his agent dropped him. Within 4 days, one of the most successful, brilliant film actors of our time had nothing. He lost everything. Then he went through two court cases. Neither the police nor the legal system of America or Britain has ever found him guilty of anything, and yet the woke mob say he remains seriously cancelled. These fuckers, we've got to do something about this.
Well, Matt Hancock thinks he's a fucking genius. Unfortunately, nobody else does.
Yeah!
He's the only one that does. He actually took the mirror to the fucking Press Complaints Commission.
Yeah, I'm going
to
get that quote. It's funny.
Where they called him a liar, they called him dishonest, they called him corrupt, they said he cheated on his wife. What the fuck would he have to argue with?
I'm going
to
get the quote.
He did all of those
things.
It's very funny. He did all of those things, right? And in the end, said, well, yeah, you are all those things. So, what's the fucking problem?
Yeah, I've got to get you the exact quote. It's very funny.
Yeah, go on.
Talk among yourselves.
Yeah.
Won't take
long. Is a guy who went into the jungle, thought that he was remaining in the jungle because people wanted him to stay in there because they liked him. No, they wanted him to stay in there so they could watch him getting fucking... had fucking bugs poured over his head.
Here we go.
You got it?
Right, so this was a sort of think piece in the Daily Mirror. That's called Matt Hancock, and I quote, "A failed health secretary and cheating husband who broke the lockdown rules," he wrote. So he went to IPSO, as you say, the Press Complaints Organization, to say, "This is outrageous. I demand..."
They've libeled me.
"...a prominent apology on the front page." And IPSO, to their credit, I don't like IPSO, but to their credit, they sat in judgment on this for about 5 minutes and said, "Yeah, well, the problem is, Matt, this is all true." He hated the failed health secretary.
Oh, yeah.
I said on my show today, right, these fucking Tories, including him, they think that it's going to be a useful electoral tool for them to say, "We were brilliant in the COVID crisis.
Yeah.
We're the party that steered you through the pandemic." And I said, "Look, take a tip from me. Don't use that. Because you weren't fucking brilliant. You were fucking useless."
And even the people who actually supported what they did are now starting to go, "Actually, probably wasn't a great idea to shut all the fucking schools. Probably wasn't a great idea to shut all the fucking hospitals or all the doctor's surgeries." I still say it, and I've said it many times, my favourite summation of the COVID bollocks, and we did a story today, 2023, more people have died up until June of this year than they did in 2021 and 2022, right? When COVID was fucking rife. So there are excess deaths, the people who are dying because of lockdown. My favourite picture. Somebody sent it to me from somewhere in the Midlands, and they'd gone to see their GP, and there was a sign on the outside of the GP surgery which said, believe it or not, please do not enter if you are unwell.
Yes, I remember that.
It's a fucking doctor's. Why do you think I'm coming to see you, you fucking moron? Yeah. What, because I'm fine? No, I'm coming to see you because I'm fucking ill, you cunt. And I want you to give me some fucking penicillin, you fucking complete arsehole.
Medical cunt.
You know, oh, sorry, the doctor's not here. Why not? Or he's in fucking Spain on holiday. You know. Well,
it's funny, wasn't it? Wankers. The COVID crisis, all those lockdowns, it sort of made a load of people think that they didn't want to do their jobs anymore. Yeah. So doctors didn't want to treat people.
Right.
Coppers didn't want to solve crimes. Teachers didn't want to teach kids. And so on and so forth. And they've retained this attitude. Yeah.
Train drivers didn't want to drive any trains.
They never did.
No.
Yeah.
Well, they still don't. No. Luckily.
By the way, the teachers, just like the fucking nurses, when they finally... when the unions, kicking and screaming, finally allow their members a vote on whether or not to continue the strike. Landslide, let's go back to work. The nurses, the teachers.
They've all fucking done.
It's these fucking union leaders who are engaged in some sort of political war against evil Tories.
Yeah.
Trying to lead all these moderate teachers and fucking nurses and that into this... politically motivated industrial dispute, and they didn't want to be there. As soon as they got the vote, right, we're out. It's a decent offer, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Fucking arsehole.
Fuck right off. Seems like a good time to stop.
Yep.
Yeah. So, anyway, reminder, if you haven't bought a ticket yet, you might want to get one, because we're going to put some more tickets out there for the Thought Police Live. It's on the 30th of August, after you come back for your holiday. Of course, that's
not going back anymore, because I'm going to Greece and it's on fire.
No, well, I was going to say, if you survive going to Rhodes...
What do you think, I'm mad?
...without, spontaneously combusting,
you
might be able to come back.
Would you remember what I looked it up this morning, and we did it on the telly, didn't we? Rhodes today, temperature 26 degrees... partly cloudy.
Roasting. Fucking
it's gone out. It's not on fire anymore.
You don't have to take any water with you. Anyway, listen, we'll see you next week. Meantime.
Yeah, go fuck yourself.
Doing fucking make stupid. We're going to say suitablechoices.co.uk. Dave Johnson.
Yep.
Don't forget, if you need a mortgage, if you need anything to do with financing a house,
now's the time.
If you've got any money, he's the guy to see.
Yeah, now's the time. Great guy.
We'll link it to this podcast, and we'll see you next time.
Absolutely.